Hi, welcome to the Toncast, the only podcast where every week the host is different, but the very special guest is always me, Todd Robert Anderson. There's no host this week. Got no host, so it's just me talking to you, and by you I mean myself, and recording it on a microphone. And when I do, as I often do, these solo episodes, I basically let you know what's going on in my head, which is often not pretty. It's not necessarily a good thing. But I was happy the other day because I do not watch Getting Dug with High with Doug Benson on the YouTube channel, but I download the podcast, which is odd because it's audio and there's a lot of visual stuff in that show, obviously. But I don't have time to watch shows on YouTube. Because I drive around a lot, so I listen to podcasts. So I've been listening to that podcast. And for the first time, he had no guest. And I felt like, wow, I'm just like Doug Benson, except I'm more often. And I'm not on YouTube. And I don't get stoned with people when there are hosts on the show. Not that I wouldn't. I mean, I'd be happy to do a take on getting high and having an interview. Let me know if you want to do that. And you can be the host. So, you know, that was cool. I thought he did a good job, although he has people around. I don't have any people around. So if I get lost or don't have anything to say after a little bit of time, I can't pull in my magician friend like he did on his show to fill in as the guest or, talk to people off camera who will giggle. There's no one here. It's just me alone. I mean, there's cats around. I don't know where they are, though. I don't see them currently, but they could come in at any time and walk across the keyboard and destroy this podcast. So I live in a constant fear of cats destroying my creative endeavors. My movie, Fuzz Track City, is coming out on video soon. The director, writer, producer, Steve Hicks, has informed me that Indican Pictures is working on finalizing the poster or box art for the DVD, and then it will be released very soon. And also, I believe it will be streaming very soon. So that's exciting. It's exciting. These things take a long time, all the marketing stuff. But they're gonna, you know, do a whole internet marketing campaign. So maybe more people will see, that show than did at the festivals a couple years ago. Anyway, I'm very excited because I'm the lead of that movie. And most of what I do is commercials and, bit parts and, you know, guest stars that are small guest stars, not big guest stars. One day guest stars, they call them. I'm there for a day. And sometimes I do a guest star where I'm there for the whole week. But that doesn't happen that often these days. Am I complaining? Yeah, I am. I'm complaining. Found out one of the short films I shot last year got into a film festival called Dances with Films. The short film is called Dog Catchers. I did it with this friend of mine named Frank Stokes. He had a successful internet web series called God Inc., and he's made a lot of wonderful things. Now he's made this, thing called Dog Catchers. It's a comedy short and it's me and Rusty Schwimmer as well as a few other wonderful actors, including, Chet Nelson, buddy of mine who runs Commercial Sessions. And that's exciting. So I'll get to see that on the big screen. It's always exciting to see because I got into this whole business to do movies, to be in the movies. And it's not like I have an ego, like an insane ego and think I deserve to be 30 feet high. But I've always loved the movies and always dreamed of seeing myself up on the movie theater. So when these indie projects that I do get into festivals and I get to see them on a big screen, I'm very excited. Dog Catchers is in Dances with Films, which that's the name of the festival. That was the festival Fuzz Track City was in a couple years ago, one of the many. But that was the first one, certainly, that it was in, or maybe the second, I can't remember. But that was the first time I saw it on the big screen. They have it over in Hollywood, at the, Chinese Six, which is near the big Chinese theater. It's a multiplex in the mall next to the Chinese theater. Good screens, good sound. It's exciting to see your stuff, you know, projected up there. Not a movie star, but I do movies. So there, movie stars. I don't want to complain, but I don't know how to, I can't sit here and just be positive about all the swell stuff that's going on in my life. 'Cause you know what that is? It's fucking boring. And, it seems like gloating a little bit. I'm not trying to gloat. I'm just letting you know, there are places you can see me in a movie coming out on video. Or if you live in Los Angeles, you can see the short film Dog Catchers at the upcoming, Dances with Films, which comes out at the end of this month, May 2014. The festival starts and runs for a couple weeks. Anyway, you should go. You should look it up online. Find out when it's playing, and then you should go to the show because it's going to be great. But I don't want to talk about how great things are, because you know what? They're not always great. And quite frankly, I do all these things. I do this podcast, you know, and I do I have a blog, you know, and this podcast and the blog tends to be where I pour my frustration. At least the episodes like this, where it's just me talking and there isn't someone interviewing me, I don't really have as much control and can't necessarily complain about what's going on when I'm being interviewed by somebody, because they have their own agenda, and you know, a lot of times they want to fuck me up, but that, because it's funny that way. But I have complete, you know, control when I'm doing this podcast by myself. So then I get to talk to you about the stuff going on. And I haven't written on my blog in like 2 months. And the reason for that is, you know, 'cause my blog is specifically, you know, about acting, and the business of acting. And, it didn't start that way, but it became that way 'cause it just seemed like the most obvious thing for me to write about that might interest other people. I'm not going to write a blog about being a homemaker, which I am half the time. There are too many blogs about being a homemaker out there. And, you know, I wanted to give it some kind of subject that people could latch into and that I could latch into. But the thing is it's when things are going well as an actor, there's not that much for me to write on a blog. All right. One, I'm working a lot when things are going well and I don't really have a lot of time, and my downtime I spend with family and friends, instead of the internet. 'Cause I have a life, you know, I think a lot of people who, like blog all the time and are constantly on Facebook or Twitter are lonely. They're lonely. And they're reaching out, and they're obsessed with the concept of being a celebrity. So they take to public forums for absolutely everything. And I do a lot of this. I'm not judging people for that. I get it. I mean, part of me wants to be a celebrity, mostly because if I'm a celebrity, I'll get more acting work, and that's what I like to do. But I get it, the need for attention. I mean, I certainly want attention. I'm an actor. If I didn't want attention, I wouldn't be an actor. I like attention. But I'm satisfied in small circles, hanging out, getting attention from people there. So I don't necessarily take to the internet all the time. I basically, you know, try to discipline myself to do this as much as possible and do the blog. And I was holding myself to both those things for a very long time. Got to do this every week. Got to do this every week. And then I was like, I don't have to do this every week. Why? Nobody's asking me to. Nobody's paying me. That, and that's what it comes down to it. If people were constantly saying, hey, when's the next thing that you do coming out and where can I send the money for it? Then I'd be like, I got to get on this. But sometimes I'm just like, fuck it. And that's how it goes. But, now I'm forcing myself to sit down and talk, but I realized I had stuff to complain about. And I do, cause like weird things have happened to me in the last week. Now, just to reiterate, you know, things over the last, since the beginning of the year, really, or the end of last year, work-wise have been good. I've been booking a number of commercials. I've traveled to some places to shoot commercials, and that's great. I got a friend who's got a show picked up by FX, and I've got a little recurring role in that, and that shoots. It's like they're going into production this week, and they are shooting, I think, through the beginning of July. So I'll have a bunch of days of work in there. So it's nice to know that work is coming. Like that's, for me, that's a great place for me to be in. And then I kind of become somewhat satisfied with the way things are. And I don't compare myself to other people who, you know, have the lead in the show. And then when the show's over, they got a movie lined up. I'm more, you know, I'm going with me in my career. And how things work for me, which is different, decidedly different than the regular acting path. So if I have commercials running, which I do, I have a couple commercials running, then I have money coming in. And that feels good to have money coming in. It's not a boatload of cash, but you know, there's money and I'm married to a school teacher. The summer break is coming up. She doesn't get paid over the summer break. So if we don't have a lot of money in the bank account before the summer, and for us, a lot of money is not a lot of money. It's enough to get through the summer. But if we don't have that money to get us through the summer, I get nervous. But we have that money to get through the summer. So that's good. We can have some fun and hang out and enjoy the summer. But then, you know, I'll get some checks coming in from this TV show, which will help get us through the summer. So that's like that's kind of the best place that I get into, which that's where I am right now. I'm there. There's a lot going on in the personal life, that is difficult, with family, just ailments and whatnot. And that is taxing to the psyche, I believe. But, and it so often seems that when I'm flush with cash for me, like all this other shit goes poorly. And then when I'm broke, everybody else is happy. So I don't know. Maybe it's better when I'm broke for the world. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. Why would it be that way? It just seems that way. It's my own perspective that I, you know, find things where there aren't things and say things that probably aren't true because my brain spins them into weird negative places. Am I afraid of success? Yeah, I guess. Am I afraid of failure? Yeah, I guess. I'm afraid of both of them. But I would like to be more successful. But anyway, when the other thing that happens, like right now, is when I'm on this track and I've got work coming in and I know it's coming, then I start to feel like maybe things are starting to progress a little bit, and get me out of the sort of place that I've been in for the last 15 years. Like maybe I'll finally get that bump, get that promotion I'm looking for. I mean, nobody gives you a promotion in Hollywood, but somehow it happens. It's your next big break. So, you know, for all I know, this show that I'm doing, that could be it. The show's a hit. My recurring character is thought to be funny, and then more people will want to work with me. Or, you know, it could go the other way. But I don't want it to go the other way, obviously. I want it to go the good way. But my point being is I'm feeling okay. I was feeling okay. All right. And then weird things started to happen. And I don't know if it's the universe trying to humble me or if it's some lesson I'm supposed to learn about keeping a stiff upper lip when people are being weird, and I'm treated poorly. But these things happened. Okay. One, I was talking to a woman who I'm very close with, and she told me she knew someone who worked in casting or production or something, and said to her, well, for this project I'm working on, we're looking for a Todd Anderson type. I don't know. Maybe there's another Todd Anderson I don't know about. That's highly possible, or that she knows about. But she seemed pretty sure that he was talking about me. And I'm like, one, it's like, that's cool that I'm in the zeitgeist enough that someone would use me as a reference point for casting. That's cool and complimentary. What's not cool is you don't need a Todd Anderson type. I'm fucking right here. I am available. You could call me and hire me, and then you don't need a Todd Anderson type. You've got Todd Anderson. It seems so simple. So I got that bit of news, and I was like, well, that's cool. I'm happy about that. That makes me feel good. But at the same time, if people are out there looking for Todd Anderson types, and that's a fucking thing? Is that a thing? If that's a thing, then I don't see why I'm not working more. Why I am not overbooked at this point. Why I have time to sit down and talk into a microphone about being a Todd Anderson type. If people are looking for Todd Anderson types, it should be that I am not available. So we wanted Todd Anderson, but we didn't get Todd Anderson because we asked Todd Anderson. Todd Anderson said he couldn't do it because he was too busy. Then you put out a casting call saying we're looking for a Todd Anderson type because we wanted Todd Anderson, but we couldn't get Todd Anderson. But what I'm saying is most likely you can get Todd Anderson right now. I mean, I'm not going to do hardcore porn because the men in porn don't get paid that much. But I will, you know, I'll do softcore if, you know, for scale. But you know, I'm saying, hey, why don't you just call me and hire me? I'm not that expensive. It's not like I'm not just, I don't understand how that could happen. So I was a little upset that I'm not, I mean, as much as I've been working, I got a little upset that I'm not working more if I'm a type and I'm an actual person and you can call me. You know, I'll do Sci-Fi Channel movies, man. I'll happily do that. Just call my manager and say, hey, we want Todd to be in Mega Shark versus Robot Jax. And he has to tell me. He can't not tell me. He can't blow it off. He'll have to call me. He may be like, I don't know if you should do Mega Shark versus Robot Jax. Mega Shark versus Robot Jax sounds silly. And I'll say, I love silly. And this way I can watch Mega Shark versus Robo Jax with my wife some Saturday night on the Sci-Fi Channel. And I'll be in it. And we can enjoy, it'll be more enjoyable than a regular Sci-Fi Channel movie. Or whatever. I'll do whatever. That's what I'm saying. There's no need to hire Todd Anderson types when you can hire Todd Anderson. I guess unless you're looking for a 20-something Todd Anderson, in which case, why weren't you looking for a 20-something Todd Anderson when I was a 20-something Todd Anderson? I mean, honestly, what gives? Why can't, if you're looking for a Todd Anderson type, but you want him to be 25, why not revamp your script a little for a 40-year-old, 42, really, but and hire me? Because that's the energy you're looking for. You're very specific. Why not rewrite your thing for me, you know? I mean, come on. There's no reason to go fishing for someone like me that you're not going to find, because I'm unique. There's not very many gingers out there who look and act like I do. They look and act their own way. Anyway, that happened. And then, and I, you know, I was okay with it, you know, even though I'm not working as much as someone who gets referenced in Casting Breakdown should work, in my estimation. I at least took the silver lining there was that, well, you know, I've made enough of an impression on enough of people that they would reference me when trying to fill out their cast. So that's cool, I guess. But then yesterday, and this is what bugs the shit out of me. Let me preface this. I don't want you to think that I'm, you know, an egomaniac, but I do have an ego, and I've been doing this professionally for, I don't know, 17 years, maybe 18 years. The better part of 20 years. Let's just call it that. And I don't ask for, you know, like special treatment when I go somewhere. I'm not like, hey, you have to have a bottle of Perrier waiting, chilled in an ice bucket, with a bowl of dried apricots and a plate of chocolate dipped strawberries every time I come to a set. I'm not I'm not some prima donna diva type actor. I'm a bit of a warhorse, and I like to get my hands dirty. I'm willing to get my face rubbed in the mud, you know, to make things work. I don't mind. I'm not combative with people. I don't curse at people if they step in my eye line or something. I get it. We all got jobs to do, and sometimes, you know, people aren't doing their jobs perfectly because there's all these different things that make it easy for things to go weird. And I've never thought it was a big deal when someone stepped in front of my eye line anyway. I don't really notice it because I'm focused. I mean, unless they get in my eye line and they're like waving their arms and mooning me and stuff, then I'm going to get distracted. But normally, you know, I'm pretty focused. If people are talking while I'm acting, like, or whispering or something, and I can hear it, then I get distracted. That's distracting for an actor because you feel like, well, people aren't paying attention, and it kind of, when you hear stuff like that, it kind of wrecks your concentration. But as far as people walking behind the camera or whatever because they got to move something from here to there, I'm not going to Christian Bale you and yell at you and make you feel like a jerk for doing that. I'm not like that. So that's what I'm saying. But I do have an ego, and I've been doing this for a long time, and I appreciate a little respect, I guess is what I'm saying. And this happened to me yesterday, and for me it was, you know, and it's just an oversight, I'm sure. It's just me being insensitive. I mean, too sensitive, not insensitive, too sensitive. You know, we all make mistakes, you guys. Let it go. Let it go. All right? I made a mistake. I meant to say too sensitive. All right? Relax. So I'm too sensitive, perhaps, but I had an audition last week for a commercial. It was just one line in a commercial, and it's just at the beginning of the commercial. It's not the main guy in the commercial. It's a supporting role in a commercial. These roles are good for me to get, actually, because it turns out whether you're the guy who does all the heavy lifting in the commercial or you're the guy who does very little in the commercial, as long as you're on camera, everybody gets paid the same. Celebrities notwithstanding. Celebrities have contracts for millions of dollars or whatever. But us, you know, blue collar actors, we just get the scale or the scale and a half or whatever they say in the breakdowns they're willing to pay. And then everybody in the commercial will get the same. So if you do all the talking and then there's a guy next to you who doesn't do any talking, you get paid the same. And if you're the guy who does all the talking and you're the focal point of the commercial and you're in essence the thing that is selling the product, then you become associated with that product when people see your commercial airing. So what happens is they think, well, he's doing that commercial for this, and it's like he's the guy. So they're going to be less likely to hire you for little bits because they don't want your little bits to distract from the big bits in their commercial. But if you can get a buttload of little bits where you're just in the commercial for a moment or two, then you can have a lot of spots running at the same time. And outside of being a spokesperson and being under contract and getting paid boku bucks for that, like, I don't know, like Flo, the progressive girl, then you can make the most money in that way, having a lot of commercials running where you're a supporting character. So, and it also depends on the markets in which the commercials run. Cause, you know, one, advertiser might not have seen your stuff. So that helps too. But if you have a bunch of commercials where you're barely in them, but enough that you get residuals, then you get residuals and it's great. So I'm explaining that to you just because I don't want you to think, I'm grateful for these opportunities and grateful when casting directors call me in. I am. I have a lot of casting directors in the commercial world who call me in all the time and they're looking out for me. And cause they know I'll do a good job. So that's cool. So I went in and I did this one line and it was fine. It was fine. And they called me back. Because apparently they thought it was fine too. So, I went to the callback yesterday. It was a bit of a day. My son had a cavity filled in the morning. Had, the laughing gas for the first time in his life. And afterwards it put him in a very emotional place. I wasn't thinking at first because he was being very difficult, and then I realized, oh, he's being difficult because he's got this nitrous oxide hangover right now. So I took him to school late, but he said, I don't want to go to school late. I'll be embarrassed. So I pulled his mom, who's a teacher at the school where he goes, out of her class to talk to him because he wasn't listening to me. She talked to him, and we ultimately decided he didn't have to stay in school, that I would take him home. He would bring his work home and do it at home. So luckily, my callback wasn't until after my wife's school day. So she had to leave school right away. Normally, she has to stay for a half hour, but she got it worked out that she could leave right away and get home in time for me to get to my audition on time. So all these things happened, and you know, they don't know this is going on, but ostensibly this is going on with a lot of people who you call into an audition. By the way, if you're somebody who calls people into auditions and you're not aware of this, we all have lives, especially people who work in commercials, who aren't celebrities and don't know where the next job is coming from. We're all scrapping. We're all trying to make ends meet, trying to work. You know, I'm married to a school teacher, not a lot of money coming in. So when we're adjusting our schedules for you, it's not easy, but we work it out. So we work it out, and that's part of the game. So we worked it out. I drove for about an hour to get to the callback. I got to the callback, which once I was there this late in the day, I knew I had an hour to an hour and a half drive home afterwards. So this is a lot of commuting for one line, all right? But I get to the place. I wait for almost an hour before they bring me in. Towards the end of that hour, and they sort of called everybody in this category at the same time, 4:30, and they were grouping large groups of people to hang out and be in the audition room together. You know, all working on the same scene together. But the one guy with the one line is the focal point of this scene. And I had auditioned for the one line. Not for, you know, there were people there who were there just to not have lines, which is fine. I mean, maybe that's all they wanted to see me for. I don't know. But they kept grouping people, bringing people in until there was just me and another guy. The groups were groups of five. And there was just me and another guy left out. And I'm like, are we? And then the casting assistant is like, well, I think we may actually bring you in on this other role, or rather than this role. And I was like, oh, okay. And then seconds later said, no, we're going to bring in this. You know, we're just going to put you in this group. So now the group of five is a group of seven. And we're in there. And they have every single person read the one line except for me. And then they say, thank you very much, you can go. So I drove all that way to audition for this one line, and they didn't have me read the line. They didn't have me audition. I mean, I was in the audition room, essentially, and, you know, I was bringing it. I was talking to people, improvising conversations that you would never hear, looking like I was involved, even though I didn't get to read the one line. But that's the focal point. That's the best place to be in, because that line's going to be in the commercial and the guy will be in the commercial. The other, non-speaking roles, more likely to get caught and lost. So I do like to at least have that one line, which guarantees me being on camera, which guarantees me getting residuals. So that's all, you know, that's all there. But when I don't know, maybe that's just because clearly they didn't know what I was there for, because they kept saying, oh, I think we might have you read for this other role. Oh no, we're going to do this. So they didn't even know why I was there. So I was confused as to why they called me back. And if you don't want to call me back, that's fine. I might not be right, or you're not what you're looking for, or whatever. Unless you're looking for a Todd Anderson type, in which case you should just book me. There's no need to audition me if you want me. They were like, thank you. That's it. And so I walked out. My wife asked me, well, why didn't you say something? And I said, because when they say thank you at the end of an audition, that's it. That's it. There was something about me in the room, the moment, maybe, or maybe it was just an oversight. It seemed kind of like an oversight, the whole thing. I feel like maybe I was called back by accident, because it didn't seem, they didn't even notice I was there when I was in the room. And like, with all this good stuff that's going on, it's impossible for me not to get mad about that, because that's hurtful. Not to give me my shot when you ask me to come out and I go through all this trouble to get there. You know, that's a big part of my day gone, where I could have been doing something constructive, but instead you decided to call me into this audition, and now I'm not auditioning in the audition. I don't know. It was frustrating and upsetting. It made me feel like a chump. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting. I know it's a tough business. And that stuff used to happen to me all the time when I first started. And, you know, I didn't think, I mean, it was hurtful back then, to be honest. But then I was like, well, I'm not established. They might not know me, and they're not. But I mean, at this point, I mean, come on. You shouldn't be treating me that. There should be some benefit to sticking this out as long as I have. And that benefit should, at the very least, be respect. And that, I felt disrespected. And maybe it was unintentional. Maybe it was an oversight. But you know what? There shouldn't be oversights like that. You shouldn't be making a veteran actor, performer, in the realm in which you're casting, which in this case is commercials, feel like a D-bag, feel like a shithead and an idiot for wasting his time. So that's, I don't know, you tell me, please write in, or, you know, send me an MP3 of you talking and I'll put it on the next show. Am I overreacting? Am I being a baby? Or am I right on the money? I mean, I know it wasn't the casting director's fault. This was the producers and the director and the people who were in the room because it was a callback. And those are the people I'm sort of calling out. I mean, really? I mean, I know you have a project to do, and I know there's a lot riding on it, and there's a lot of money involved, and you're responsible for a lot of things, and the actors and the performers and their feelings are the least of your worries. However, some level of professionalism should be extended toward those people who are going out of their way and they're not getting paid while you're getting paid to sit in that room. You're getting paid to sit in that room and cast this commercial. The people who are coming in to get the job are just hoping to get paid and hoping they can do something that will help your project that will get them paid. But to treat those people with disrespect in that scenario is just, it's rude. It's rude and deeply unprofessional. As much as you disrespect me, that's how much I respect you afterwards. So, okay, I'm done complaining. What are our lessons here? Our lessons are, you can see me in a short film at a film festival or on a feature film on disc very soon in the next month. So please be on the lookout for those things. Dog Catchers and Fuzz Track City. If you are casting a project and looking for a Todd Anderson type, you should call me first. Call me before you put out the breakdown, because I'm probably going to want to do your show. Unless it's just, I mean, I understand people are afraid of rejection, but something has to be egregiously bad for me not to do it. I want to work with people. I like it. So yeah, just call me. And, finally, if you call me into an audition, let me audition. These are the things that I ask for from the world, and the world can deliver or the world cannot deliver. Fuck it. It's up to you, world. But man, that was rough. I went from feeling like I was in an okay place to feeling again like, am I back where I started? I mean, I know I'm not. I know that's a logical and an emotional thing, but golly. I mean, golly. I just want respect. Thanks for listening to Toncast. Sorry it was whiny. It's just where I am right now. I'm in a state of whine. Sometimes you got to complain. Why has everything got to be so positive? Can't you just be negative sometimes? What is it with this? Everybody gets mad when you're whiny and when you point out negative things, and they get mad at you for doing it. And they say you need to turn over a new leaf. You need to accentuate the positive. And I think I just very evenly said there was some positive things and negative things, but without the negative things, there aren't positive things, and you have to work through the negative things. And if I can't talk about them, how am I supposed to work through them? You know what? Leave me alone. I get to be negative if I want to. I will be negative. Go ahead. Ask me right now. Would you please be positive? Would you please be positive? And my answer is very decidedly no.